Sports, politics, life. Back 9 Development presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at back9development.com.
All of us have certainly seen great NCAA tournament games in our lifetimes. I'm not sure we've ever seen a performance quite like the one Marquise Noel put on Thursday night against Michigan State to advance Kansas State to the Elite Eight. 20 points, 19 assists. He's averaging 21 and 14 in this tournament. He is shattering NCAA tournament records. And what's different about Marquise Noel no longer is that he's the smallest guy on the floor. What's different about Marquise Noel is he does things nobody else does in college basketball and is playing and doing things in the game that we're not sure we've ever seen. His repertoire, accepted repertoire, behind the back, through the legs, bounce passes. Passes that can only be described as Patrick Mahomes bullets, one-armed baseball throws to the wing for three-pointers, driving lane, kicking it out, twisting, turning, hitting threes, making layups at the basket. Marquise Noel's game right now can only be compared to one athlete I can think of, and that's Patrick Mahomes. Does that mean Kansas State's going to win the title? No. Basketball's a completely different game than football. I would say this about Marquise Noel. If he was a college quarterback and was so good, so efficient, and so different the way he is right now, like Patrick Mahomes is in football, Kansas State would be on its way to winning a national title in football. Does that translate to basketball? Hey, it takes a lot more than one guy just dishing out all these assists. What I know about Kansas State is when Marquise Noel has 10 assists or more, they're next to impossible to beat. They can always, seemingly, find a way to score in the most unusual ways. On this night, it was 58 seconds left in overtime. Marquise Noel seemingly arguing and fighting with his coach on the sideline, and this was not an argument, and it was not a fight, and I'm putting this to bed. There is no discussion on whether this was a called play or something where Marquise Noel simply looked at Keontae Johnson in the corner with a wink and threw the alley-oop backwards jam to take the lead in overtime for good. No, that's not what it was. This was a play. This was a play they'd worked on. It was orchestrated beautifully. If you watch the replays now, you could see Marquise Noel walking the ball down the floor, turning to his left, where Isaiah Thomas is sitting in the seats in the front row on the court side at Madison Square Garden, and Noel says to Isaiah Thomas, watch this. He gets across half court. Noel does something he rarely did all night, and that is stop once he gets across half court. There was no attempt to go to the wing. There was no attempt to drive and penetrate. There was no attempt to do anything. He looks over at his coach. His coach is giving him hand signals. As Jerome Tang puts both arms out like a flying airplane, you can see two players stand up on the end of the bench where Keontae Johnson is standing by the bench. That's the target area where Keontae Johnson is. One of the players puts his arms extended out like Jerome Tang is. Like, okay, here's the play. Here's your target. Noel looks at his coach and says, what, two? He puts up two fingers. Tang turns and goes 2-1 and makes a slash. That's what Jerome Tang did. He went 2-1 slash with his fingers. When the slash happened, the play was on. Keontae Johnson broke to the basket. Noel turned away and fired it up to the basket, and they got the dunk. Tom Izzo would call K-State lucky after the game. This was anything but luck. It was not lucky when K-State executed that play to win the game. It was not lucky when Keontae Johnson bounced an inbounds pass off a Michigan State's player's ass, got the ball, and laid it in for a basket. That's not luck. Tom Izzo was a terribly sore Hall of Fame loser after this game. What a great coach, and how much respect I've had for this man through the years and the way he's built this program and what he's done. And he said after the game that Kansas State had hit lucky shots, that they didn't play better than Michigan State. Some of those plays weren't big plays. They were lucky plays. There was one, Marquise Noel with the shot clock down, spinning around, turning, falling to the ground, trying to throw it up and hit the basket to keep the shot clock running, made a three-pointer. It was lucky. It is rare that we can watch college basketball for a week and at some point not watch a team hit a shot clock buzzer three that we think is lucky. Whether it's banked in, whether it was Yesufu in the KU-Arkansas game last Saturday, a near half quarter that went in. I never question any of those. They're part of the game. It's going to happen. You're eventually going to hit one in at the buzzer. Izzo would say after the game that they were lucky banking in two three-pointers. To be honest, I don't remember the other one. I watched the whole game, and I don't remember the other three-pointer that banked in. I won't say that it didn't happen, but I don't remember a second three-point shot clock buzzer beater that went in for Kansas State, and it's a little embarrassing for Tom Izzo. Kansas State had this game won. They were up 5 with a minute 36 to go, and they couldn't get to the free throw line. Noel missed a long three where they stood around and didn't do much. And then, of course, the layup at 0. In overtime, K-State falls behind, but this time they close the game on an 8-1 run in the last minute 29. Everybody talking about the huge play with, 58 seconds to go, where Marquise Noel bulleted that ball to Keontae Johnson at the basket for the reverse dunk. What an unbelievable play that was. Ish Massoud had an unbelievable shot clock beater there. It wasn't really a shot clock beater. It was 4.5 seconds on the shot clock on the inbound play. Giant play with 15 seconds to go, and that did it for Kansas State as they are off to the Elite Eight. Remarkable story. Stan Weber will join us in just a few minutes. And Stan's obviously sitting courtside for these games, calling them for the K-State Network. And we're bringing him out of off-season retirement to talk a little Kansas State, Elite Eight, and the possibility of the Wildcats getting the Final Four against Florida Atlantic. Also, why such silence around the Kansas basketball program this week? We have heard nothing, no update, nothing from Kansas basketball. We had Danny Klinkscale on a patron podcast on Thursday, and he's got some thoughts about what the silence means as it pertains to Bill Self's health and the future of the program. He has one specific mile marker coming up that if we don't see Bill Self at that publicly or commenting, that it could be a really bad sign. Nobody's really sure what's going on here, but the silence is deafening in Lawrence. We'll get Danny's thoughts on that. It's all ahead on a March Madness edition of KKHI, brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs, home of the lifetime warranty. It's included on every new vehicle. Did you see the new commercial during basketball last night for the all-new GMC Canyon? Wow, this is just a killer mid-sized truck. What they've done with that is phenomenal. The Denali version, the AT4, they're all available to order right now at robertsrobinson.com. They'll be shipping soon and on the dealership property. But just call Tim Trader. Say, I want to know everything I can about that new Canyon. It's all new. It's not a new model year. It's a completely new truck. 816-826-1563. Online at robertsrobinson.com with GMC. We are professional grade. Buck Roofing and Construction is online at rbuckroofing.com. I got a text from Ron Buck after the game last night. He was pretty excited about the finish, and the Cats making it to the Elite Eight. That's pretty cool. He's a big sponsor of all of our college and pro teams here in Kansas City. Huge sports fan, and of course, he's a great American patriot. Your kind of guy, Ron Buck. Free roof inspection available. Just mention the podcast when you call 913-384-2680, and you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And if we're going to do a Kansas State Elite Eight podcast, why wouldn't we include the Bluemont Hotel and Goolsbee's? Goolsbee's, there's a couple locations of Goolsbee's now, the one in Manhattan, and then the one I saw on Twitter last night. There was a giant watch party, and a bunch of K-State fans were going crazy, and it was all over Twitter, their reaction when the game, when Noel made the steal and got the layup to end the game. It was pretty cool stuff. But it's certainly a K-State kind of place, but you don't have to be a K-State kind of guy to stay at the Bluemont Hotel and Goolsbee's in Manhattan. It is Manhattan's destination property. There is no place like it. You can log on to BluemontHotel.com for more information. If you've got a ball tournament coming up or a soccer tournament this summer and the whole team is going, stay at the Bluemont. You're going to love the location. The young ones, your young athletes are going to love it. There's great entertainment there. There's golf simulators, batting cages, all kinds of video games and cool stuff right there on the hotel property. It's awesome. BluemontHotel.com in Manhattan. All right, Stan Weber was courtside, and I haven't spoken with Stan, so we're going to find out exactly what he thought about the craziness. He's got a great view to one of the unbelievable performances of all time, watching Marquise Noel through these three games. Stan Weber is up on KKHI. Hit it!
The KKHI Conversation is brought to you by Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Online at fryorthodontics.com.
Well, Stan Weber probably didn't get a whole lot of sleep. A late night watching the game after Kansas State, and then back to the team hotel, adrenaline. Stan, do you feel like you're part of the game when you're sitting there and you're calling the game and you're wrapped up in the thing? How hard is it to wind down and get to sleep after a night of basketball like that?
Yeah, you don't want it to end. You know, in fact, I'm hanging out with some of Kevin Kiesman's friends, in the across the street. But the other thing is, Kevin, you realize you're kind of hungry, and you're glad you're in New York City, because after the game was over, I realized the last time I'd eaten was probably 2 o'clock Eastern time, 1 o'clock Central, and now it's like 1 o'clock Central, 2 o'clock Eastern, and you start saying, "Oh, wait a second, I haven't eaten forever." So we went and hung out with the K-Staters across the street and reminisced about how awesome the game was. You think about, hey, Kevin, everyone talks about the dunk at the end of the game with Marquise Noel throwing an alley-oop lob to Keontae Johnson. Do you realize the first play of the game was a dunk on a lob, somewhat like it, without the twist and the over-the-head dunk, but still the game was started and ended like that. You talk about all these great moments, and you compare it to the Xavier game in 2010, double overtime, and Salt Lake City in the Sweet 16, all these things, and then finally going like, wait a second, we haven't eaten. So we went over, and in New York City you can do this, pizza by the giant slice. Mm. So we went over there and ate, and therefore we went to sleep around 2:45 or so this morning. So, yeah, you just don't want it to end. And so thanks for having me on, because this kind of continues the enjoyment of what went on last night in Madison Square Garden.
Well, it's an amazing story, and we've watched Kansas State, and one of the things that fuels them and the fan base is a little chip on the shoulder of, you know, the little engine that could or something like that. They've been the highest seed in this thing now for several days. So I don't think they're any kind of an underdog, and they're playing Florida Atlantic now, but they're going to use it. I think Tom Izzo did Kansas State a favor after the game last night. He basically said they were lucky with a lot of their shots. I don't know what Tom Izzo was watching. He said his team didn't play very well. They were 13 out of 25 from three. They committed 8 fewer fouls than K-State. They made 7 more free throws. They had 6 more rebounds. They had 3 players make 4 three-pointers. And what this Hall of Fame coach does after the game, says K-State slopped in and got lucky on some shots. I couldn't believe that. K-State players, everybody's going to hear this. To me, that's a motivating factor. I've always liked Tom Izzo, and we'll get to Marquise Noel in a moment, but I couldn't believe the things that he said after the game. I just absolutely was stunned. Is he losing his mind? Because he looks like he's miserable. He looks like he's having a terrible time coaching. He's angry. I feel really bad for Tom Izzo in light of this thing, and I don't think we can make too much of a big a deal out of this. I think it's really sad. Is he just a grumpy old man?
Well, I haven't been around him enough, but boy, the response really does fire up K-State. This is exactly what they need to have some motivation. Last week, John Calipari helped motivate him with talking, about the little kid, Marquise Noel. That became a big story. And now, you go and beat Tom Izzo. Hey, wait a second. Did I just say Jerome Tang back-to-back beat John Calipari in Kentucky and Tom Izzo in Michigan State? I don't know. I had all the respect in the world getting ready for this game. It was a joy, Kevin, to really give Michigan State the respect that they deserve, because they're not the first name on the tip of your tongue when you talk about the greatest programs in college basketball. The Blue Bloods, whatever, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky. You might go UCLA. Some people may remember Indiana, but you don't say Michigan State. And then you look at what Tom Izzo has done, and it's just incredible. He's won a national championship, 8 Final Fours, 15 Sweet 16s, 10 Elite Eights, the whole thing. Naismith Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but this changes everything with me, for me with him, because he's acting like, hey, we're Michigan State. We shouldn't be losing to Kansas State. If the same thing had happened against Kansas or Duke or somebody like that, he would have never said those words. What he did to me, he showed an arrogant streak about what college basketball has been, and by the way, what it is not right now, because the Blue Bloods are out of this thing, all right? What he showed me was a ridiculous arrogance of an era gone by in this sport.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kevin. It really turned on a dime for me, because going into the game, I just saw this Michigan State team with respect. And I thought, this is as hard a game as K-State has had to play this year. They're put together. They're great in a tournament. They got size. They've got a strong point guard. They got great three-point shooting. They play great defense, and they're tournament ready, tough. And I just respected Tom Izzo, to a high level. The more I studied Michigan State, I was going, wow, this is really a great story. And then he says that, and you're going, you got to be kidding me, because you mentioned some great points. How about this? Just look at this, how he stole from his team by doing that. 13 3-point makes, 13 of 25. And three different guys had 4 3-point makes in a game.
Have you ever seen that? I can't remember a team that ever made had three guys make 4 3-pointers. That's insane.
18 of 22 from the free throw line, killing it in clutch play because K-State had the lead for 27 minutes. Okay, it was K-State ahead, Michigan State fighting back. And, man, did they fight back with these shots. And then how about their point guard? He played an unbelievable game. Totally Marquise good. Noel is the feature guy of this tournament, but A.J. Hogarth said, I'm 6'4", 210. He goes barreling down and has a career high with 25 points, Kevin. He's 10 of 11 from the free throw line, got a ton of foul calls against K-State, like him or not. I mean, Michigan State played great basketball. It's just that K-State had 11 three-point makes, 26 assists, only 5 turnovers. K-State went right back at him, shooting 55.9%. K-State had to play great to beat Michigan State, and Tom Izzo should have just stated it that way. Like, man, that game is overtime. We didn't lead for much of the game. Our guys showed so much resilience fighting back. K-State got after it. They were ahead. Our guys wouldn't quit. We got it to overtime when it looked like we were going to lose, and unfortunately just could not overcome an NCAA tournament record, 19 assists by Marquise Noel, and only 2 turnovers. No, that's not what he said. Angry old man. It just changes everything.
It's so
like
bad.
He said.
Yeah, it was so bad. And listen, it's part of the game. You know, Mick Cronin said a little bit last night after UCLA lost, he said, well, they hit a 32-footer on us. I'm like, well, 32-footers are part of the game. By the way, again, the 3-point line needs to be moved back in college basketball. It's still too far up, which sounds insane to say. These shooters are unbelievable. Gonzaga did it last night. That, I mean, their game was on the line, and they went and made a shot from 32 feet, and these coaches act like it's some sort of a fluke. How many of these things do we have to see? How many times do you have to watch? Now, look, if you want to say anything is fluky about Kansas State, it's probably Ish Masood, who has had just ridiculously important shots in the last 2 wins, none more so than 15 seconds left in overtime, the 2-point jumper off the inbound play where he's literally backing up as he shoots this shot. That's not his shot, and he made it. He's a good shooter, so you can't say it was a fluke or lucky, but that was the one that was really kind of the outlier in all of this. K-State hitting some threes, K-State getting some alley-oop dunks, that's their game. If you want to look at a shot, a play, and Tom Izzo sitting here saying they got lucky, I'll give you these 3 plays. An inbound play where Ish Masood hit a 2, who was wide open on the inbound pass and got a good look. The alley-oop play that everybody's talking about, okay? You got beat, your defense was asleep. And how about the one earlier in the game where Keontae Johnson bounces the inbound pass off of Michigan State's player's ass and grabs the ball and lays it in. Were those lucky plays, or did they outcoach you on those plays? That's what I would have asked if I was in the press conference. I would have said, were they lucky, or did they just flat beat you on some of these plays? Because it looked to me like y'all were asleep.
Yes, I guess Tom isn't working on his data analytics very well because Steph Curry and those Golden State Warriors kind of galvanized it for all of basketball that you don't have to pound the ball inside and get those high percentage shots. That 3-point line is worth a lot, Kevin. You know the math. You can miss more 3-pointers because you're getting 50% more points if you make it. But you look at the ability to shoot the 3-ball. It's an incredible part of basketball. You look at Florida Atlantic getting here in the Elite Eight and this K-State team. You shoot threes and you shoot layups. That's what you do by the analytics. That's how you maximize your chance to win. Michigan State did nothing wrong. I mean, we should just be sitting here if we just broke down the tape and gave
Michigan State.
It's not
even that, Stan. I could be wrong. I think K-State took their absolute best punch. I don't know what Michigan State more could have done. They did everything
they
wanted to do.
They did it. Yeah, and they had a plan, Kevin. I know they had a plan, and they executed it. This stuff was not by accident.
I know.
Jerome Tang knew exactly how he was going to attack Tom Izzo. Exactly. And oh, by the way, he's been an assistant at Baylor. K-State has not played Tom Izzo since his first couple years as being a coach. You know, K-State's never played Michigan State in the NCAA tournament. The last time they played was in December of 1996. So it's a non-factor going this game.
He
coached with Baylor against these guys, Kevin.
You know, they,
and so when he showed K-State tape, he was showing them, hey, watch this. I got this. This is going to work against Michigan State. You know, he'd done it before, and the K-State players executed it perfectly.
You know, Tom Izzo for years was a guy I looked up to. He said, look, we do it the right way here. We're not paying our players. He didn't get the best players, all right? There were other schools that got better players. He's like, I can't get those guys. There's stuff going on. And I respected that. And the last couple of years, what he has said is, I don't believe in the transfer portal. I don't like the transfer portal. We're not doing that. They didn't get anybody in the transfer portal, and he just lost to a Kansas State team that built its team in the transfer portal. I think there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. I think he's looking at Kansas State going, this is ridiculous. I've worked my whole career. I've built this thing up. I deserve better. Kansas State shouldn't be able to come out of the depths of college basketball and beat me in the Sweet 16 by turning their program around in 9 months. That's not the way this works. This is supposed to be harder than that. I just think he needs to wake up and realize what's going on. If they're going to allow you to pay players, if we're going to have NIL, if the transfer portal is a thing, you better use it. That's all I know is you better use it.
Yeah, Kevin, and the parity around college basketball, he better accept that as well. You know, don't say, oh, I can't believe I lost to blank. Do you realize in the Sweet 16, there's only 8 of the teams from the Power 5 conference and the other 8 from other conferences?
Yeah.
The SEC had 3. The Big 12 had 2, K-State and Texas. Big 10's only Michigan State, ACC, Miami, and UCLA in a Pac-12. Oh, UCLA and Michigan State are out right now. Of the 4 teams that have punched their ticket to the Elite 8, only K-State is from one of the Power 5 super conferences. You got teams like UConn, Gonzaga, FAU. Get used to it. They can put these teams together, Kevin. With transfer portal, using NIL or whatever. But this whole year has been about parity.
Yeah.
There's no dominant team that just says, look at the front of our jersey, man. Yeah. We're going to win. We got a great crowd.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't matter. And you're seeing it right now with the representation across the country of the teams. Of the 4 there, only K-State is from the Power 5. And the SEC lost 2 teams. They're down to 1, Alabama. And like I said, Pac-12, Big 10, done.
Yep.
Miami's left for it's a whole different world, and probably I hate to say things changed on a dime, but
they did.
Tom Izzo looked like an angry old man who's been a 28-year head coach. You know, it just his team played great.
They did play great. They played great. They couldn't have played better. And I'm especially astounded that they were down 5. You know, with 5 minutes to go in regulation, they were down 4 or 5 points the entire time. It did not look like Michigan State was going to win this game. And then on the last minute, 32, they go on what, an 8-2 run or 7-2 run to end regulation and did what Izzo does. And you're like, okay, this seems hard to beat. They were great. They were absolutely great. But it was a fantastic game. Let's talk about, before I get to Florida Atlantic, because I do want to get your thoughts on them. I know you've watched them. Marquise Noel is what everybody's talking about. And the only thing I can do, and I got to be really careful here because I don't want to compare Kansas State to the Kansas City Chiefs as a whole. Like, I don't think K-State is the favorite to win this tournament right now. I think they can do great things. Hell, I'm not going to rule it out because of the parity we've talked about. But watching Marquise Noel play basketball is like watching Patrick Mahomes play football. And I know that's outrageous because he's not. I don't know how Noel could possibly fit into the next level because I don't think he could guard anybody in the NBA. And I think they'd guard him to where he couldn't score. But the passing, he's like in front of our eyes, he's changing the game. I don't ever remember, well, nobody's ever had 19 assists in a game, in a tournament game. Nobody's ever had this many assists in 3 tournament games. He's breaking records right and left with assists, and he looks like Patrick Mahomes. It's behind the back. It's through the legs. It's no-look passes. It's trick plays. It's fake arguing with your coach while you toss one up to the basket for Keontae Johnson. The only thing I can think of is to compare him to Patrick Mahomes, and this team plays like the Chiefs play. They make mistakes. They do things that drive you crazy. In the end, they just expect their best guys to make a play and win the game, and so far, that's what happened for them. Am I crazy in that comparison?
Yeah, it's interesting because I see the connectivity, and I've talked about it a little bit even before I got on this podcast with you, Kevin. First of all, let's just say Andy Reid allows some freedom and expression from his players, right? He lets them do some stuff outside of his perfect drawn up X and O's. So he has an ability to allow a confidence like coach isn't going to be mad at me if I'm creative. Okay, that's unique in sports from a guy who's as good as Andy Reid at drawing up plays. So you got a great coach, and then he also has the respect of the players that they won't cross him, right? I mean, how do you have that connectivity that they feel like I can flourish and do some things on my own out here and be creative and have some fun, and yet respect the coach like crazy? And that's what they do with Jerome Tang. That's absolutely what they do. It's a perfect comparison because when Marquise Noel scoots even closer to half court, Kevin. I mean, he keeps scooting back and bombing threes, and you just go, what? And usually it's like rip. He'll make it. The passes, think about the Kentucky game. He already scored in the first half, but wasn't everyone just going to the half with their jaw dropped as he went behind the back to Keontae for a dunk, between the legs to another guy for a layup, and then into the half, dribbling around and through Kentucky players, making them think he's going one direction and lobbing it for Naquan Tomlin to dunk. Kentucky outplayed K-State in the first half, and the Wildcats led by three, and he'd hardly scored. Now, he was on his way to 27, but he was dealing out there. And same thing in this ball game right here. I tried to explain on radio. I'm hoping people are watching on TV and turning off the volume and listening to us, Kevin, because there were a couple of passes. One, he's on the left side of the court, and he's dribbling to his left, and he wants to pass the ball to the right wing from the three-point arc to the other side three-point arc. That's a long pass. And I try to describe it. He did it with one hand, left hand, like a hook shot, and fired a pass. And I literally said, like Patrick Mahomes throwing a pass or a two-hand chest pass. He had velocity, accuracy, and he's flipping it with his left hand full speed. Well, every defense in the country, Kevin, in college at this level is guarding the ball and has help defense ready, right? If the ball's on the left side of the court, everybody's ready almost in the middle of the court to attack and stop it. The only way you can get open shots is reverse the ball, but it's got to be with speed because they're going to recover and get out to the three-point shooter. He fires that ball so well that it's a wide-open Cam Carter three-point. Easy, like a practice three-pointer. The other one that's incredible, go back and watch all, you know, I know the alley-oops are awesome, but one of the most incredible ones I saw, Kevin, is he drove the ball hard through Michigan State. And, man, they make a wall that's hard to get through. Defensively, they're structured perfectly, but he gets through it and gets underneath the basket. And he's going to try to score, and he can't. I mean, they're not going to allow him to shoot it. He changes his mind while he's in the air and throws a left-handed pass while he's already jumped, and he's descending, lost his power source, right? And while he's descending, throws a one-handed left-handed pass into the corner for a shot. I've seen some video pictures. His face is contorted and everything. Go back and watch that play. Those two passes were so unique.
They are.
So creative. Who allows he's right-handed. Coach is going to say, throw a left-handed over-the-head pass, no look to the other side of the court.
You don't know where it's going. He uses his eyes and his head to decoy the defenders as to where he's passing it. We can call them no-look passes, but it's not a fluke. It's four or five times a game. He's using his head and his eyes to lean one way, and then he throws it the other, and it works. It absolutely works.
With accuracy. When Mahomes doesn't look, that's cute. What makes it elite is the ball is spiraling like a rocket, accurately hitting the upside number.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just like, oh, he did something crazy. It's like it's executed as if he were in perfect throwing position or perfect two-hand chest pass for Marquise Noel. I think it's a fair comparison. Now, we got to stop just saying with Patrick Mahomes too much. But the connectivity of being able to creative, do things we haven't seen anybody else do. I really haven't seen anybody throw so many passes.
No, that's, you know, we watch Mahomes play football and we're like, he's changing the game. And I'm watching Marquise Noel in this tournament and he's changing the game. And I'm sitting here thinking, if I'm Jerome Tang or I'm any coach watching this right now, the single most important player I want to go recruit isn't a 7-footer. It isn't this guy or that guy. I'm looking for the best passer in the country right now. That's what I'm looking for. I want somebody who can really pass the basketball because it's just deadly. It is absolutely deadly. It's unbelievable. Let me
give you this real quick, Kevin, and show you how deadly he is. Because everybody at K-State had to play great to beat Michigan State. They really did.
Sure.
But Keontae Johnson's 10 of 18. Cam Carter's 5 of 6 and 2 of 3 from behind the arc.
Yeah.
David Gasson's 5 of 5 from the field. Ish Massoud's 5 of 8, 4 of 6 from behind the arc. Kevin, you deliver a perfect pass in the shooting pocket, and the percentages go up for these guys. So I'm just telling 26 assists, 7 other assists by other guys. But think about those shooting percentages. Everybody stood up and did what they needed to because someone has to catch these no-look, rifle, perfect passes, driving to the basket and throwing it between two big guys to a big guy for K-State is only 3 feet away with velocity. You know, the Travis Kelce side of catching this stuff and finishing was big,
that's too.
Right. K-State had to play great. Hey, Tom Izzo, Michigan State played great, but K-State just did a little bit more.
All right, what do you see in Florida Atlantic, Stan? This is an unbelievable draw. I told my buddies last night, I said, I kind of wanted Tennessee to win, and they're like, why? I said, K-State's third Elite Eight in 12 years here is what we're talking about, or 13 years, and the other two times they played against Butler and Loyola. I'm like, give me the name team this time. I don't want to play Florida Atlantic. And watching them come back against a great Tennessee defense, they're kind of mirror teams, aren't they? I mean, this is just going to be wild up and down the floor, isn't it?
Yes, I carry the same thoughts you did because I was excited. K-State played Xavier back in 2010 on a Thursday night. Remember that double overtime game and everybody in the country was talking about it?
Yeah.
I put my app on Sports Radio 810 that day and just listened all day long. Kevin, between the lines, everything else, just to hear the enjoyment, the fun. K-State's going to the next round. I was so excited. They're playing Butler. All right, let's go. We're going to the Final Four. Oh, crap. Hayward's great. Butler went to the NCAA finals that year and the next year. We didn't know how good they were. And then the next time it's like, all right, Loyola Chicago. This is going to be great. That's a perfect opponent. You know, I'm not buying into that at all, Kevin. I was like, come on, Tennessee, just go ahead and win this game. I think we're going to beat you. You're too slow. You're not ready for us. So I have all the respect in the world for Florida Atlantic, but all you got to do is listen to what you just said a few minutes ago, Kevin. Just think about, go back and, you know, with your podcast here, I think you can reverse it back a minute or two pretty easy, Kevin. Listen to what you said. If I were a coach right now, I think I'd go out and find a guard who could pass. I don't care about how tall they are. I care about their skill level. Well, welcome to Florida Atlantic. Okay, here you go. These guys play like Marquise Noel and Desi Sills and the K-State team. Fortunately for K-State, they started to go to a starting lineup with only one big and four guards. So they're ready to match up with Florida Atlantic. K-State's fast, and it's going to be very important because Florida Atlantic is very, very fast. What's not being talked about enough, Kevin, is they have a guy from Russia who's 7'1", who plays a center position, and they got another big in. So they don't come in like five little dudes like a junior college team. That's not it, Kevin. They got a big guy presence, and watching them closely last night, those guys work hard and cause havoc. They get enough rebounds. They screen people off. They make you guard the whole floor while the other four players all can dribble, shoot, pass, and play fast. They're feisty on defense. They're aggressive, but they're athletic. They're really strong. You know, I think you're not supposed to think this way, Kevin, but I looked and said, hey, maybe that guy will transfer to K-State next year. He's only a sophomore. Their number 15, Elijah Martin. Kevin, he's 6'2", 210. He could play football. He could play basketball. He's first team Conference USA. I didn't know that when I was watching the game. I go, I love that player. Man. So just get ready. Florida Atlantic plays a style of basketball that works nowadays. They never fell. They only scored 22 points against Tennessee. Things weren't going well, and they didn't blink an eye. They got after it, played great. They know they can shoot. They can fast break. They go and can steal the ball from you. This Florida Atlantic team is more feisty and harder to beat than I think Tennessee is.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's get ready to go. Respect them, not just because K-State lost to Butler and the Loyola Chicago. That's reason enough for me, Kevin. But watching them, they really play a style that works very well. And their coach, you know, just don't forget that Dusty May has a history at Florida. You know, he's been around very good basketball before he went to Florida Atlantic. He's in his fifth year. He really has a pretty good lineup together. Like I said, the underrated part of FAU is the fact that they have some bigs who play only one at a time. They have one big guy in. But if they had a, you know, 6'4 big guy, then K-State might be dunking on them all game. They don't. They have an inside presence just enough to make you play real basketball. You can't take advantage of them. And these two teams, it's going to be fast, Kevin. K-State played Texas earlier this year, 116-103.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if we can get up into those kind of numbers in NCAA tournament play, but these two teams can play some offense, man, and they are fast.
Yep.
K-State's big guys are fast and athletic and long, and Florida Atlantic's not quite as long with their guys, but they're also fast. These two teams ought to be going up and down the court. It should be enjoyable. And, hey, K-State was underdog against Kentucky, barely. underdogs against Michigan State barely, even though some people in the bar across the street, Kevin, said it was pick 'em by the time the game started. That's how much people are betting now. They're like, no, no, it's pick 'em by the time the game started. I go, oh my.
I saw an app that had K-State as a 1.5 point favorite at tip off last night. The line moved 3.5 points. Vegas got crushed.
Well, FAU, this is not an 8 point spread, Kevin. Biggest Vegas guy, but it's like a couple points. So get ready. This is legit about it. K-State hasn't been to the Final Four. Kevin Keeson was not born last time. K-State went to the Final Four, 1964, Kevin. Yeah. So don't get ahead of ourselves. Don't take anything for granted. Respect FAU like they're the stinking New York Knicks coming out of Madison Square Garden locker room. You're going to have to play great. You're going to have to be ready to go.
Enjoy your view. Enjoy the call. Have a great one. And I can't thank you enough for being here, Stan. And what a ride, buddy. Thank you so much for your time, as always.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
All right, he is Stan Weber, and it is always so great to have Stan on KKHI. We appreciate him, and what an unbelievable thing. He's been doing this for so long at Kansas State and is so deserving of these moments. He sits right there courtside with the K-State Radio Network and has a great view, and Stan loves being a part of the game and at the game. He just loves sports like crazy, and he's become such a tremendous basketball analyst for a guy who played quarterback in college and is known as a football guy. He's just outstanding, and we wish him and the Wildcats the very best. It's 5:09 tip-off on Saturday against Florida Atlantic. In other action on Thursday night, UConn looks so good, it's frightening. UConn has now won 3 games in this tournament by 24 points, 15 points, and 33 points. Gonzaga hit a 32-footer to come back, a bold 3 to win its game. We got some crazy, crazy fun action going on out there, and it's a tremendous tournament to watch. It's been so exciting. Of course, Florida Atlantic scored 22 points in the first half, but then lit it up in the second half against Tennessee, and they advanced to play K-State. It is so much fun. All right, KKHI is brought to you by BStock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. You still got time to get a brand-new big screen before the Final Four next week if you'd like to. BStock.net's got a great selection. You can check them out online or in person at 14680 South Flaming Road. Don't forget their red tag deal of the week is an auction item, and you can see that at the KK list if you want to check that out. They've got laptops, computers, everything you could possibly think of, at typically 30% less than Best Buy or Nebraska Furniture Mart. It's all at bstock.net. Amazing Garage Floors had nothing to do with the floors at KCI. That's the new slogan for Amazing Garage Floors. We didn't do the floors that are scuffing at KCI. No, they'll put a floor in your garage. You can drive your car all over. There won't be rubber on it. It'll clean up when oil spills. It doesn't matter. These garage floors are amazing. AmazingGarageFloors.net. No question about it, this is the way to go with John and his team, 913-901-7139. And 360 Document Solutions is your business solution to more profitability. If you have copiers, printers, if you're in IT solutions, mail systems, phone systems, any of these things can be improved by calling 360 Document. Mark Lindquist and his team would love to give a free consultation for you. They'll do a complete analysis of what you're doing, and you'll probably save some money and be more productive. That's 913-745-5344 or online at 360documentsolutions.com. All right, on a patron podcast on Thursday, Danny Klinkscale was my guest. We do it Between the Lines 2.0 each week. And we got into the topic of why it's so quiet around the Kansas Jayhawks basketball program. Normally when the season ends, there's a season-ending news conference. We know Bill Self has had the 2 stents placed in the arteries around his heart. So we'll assume that there was no news conference because of health reasons. He's not up to it, whatever. But at some point, you got to think he was going to do sort of maybe like a sit-down interview and say, hey, you know, here's what we're thinking. We've seen a lot of players say that they're either basically going pro or transferring out. It looks like KU will only return 4 players next year, and the transfer portal will be really big for them. So I brought this up with Danny, and we talked about it. And I think the silence is more than anything else that's been so quiet around all of this with Kansas basketball. And then I went on to say, I don't think Bill Self was going to coach in this tournament, period. I think if Kansas had continued to win, I don't think Bill Self was coaching. I just don't. When I heard that he was not even standing up at the practices he was attending and he was staying back at the hotel for the games, I think he's got quite a scare on his hands here. And I totally respect and appreciate that, and respect his right to privacy and all those things. But I asked Danny if he thought, you know, Bill Self would have coached in this tournament had they kept winning, and what the silence all means.
You know, it's hard for me to tell, but I agree with you about the silence. that, you know, it almost seems when you look at it in retrospect as if his going to Des Moines was sort of a deke. You know, it was like, well, he's there. He may well coach, when maybe they knew he absolutely wasn't going to coach, but he was well enough to be around the team. So there's no way for us to know, but I do agree with what you're saying. If Bill Self was, you know, fine and dandy, you'd probably see him maybe on a TV set, or, you know, with CBS or, you know, Turner or whatever. We'll see. If he's not at the Final Four, for instance, that would be another bad sign, because that's just something that coaches do and like, even when they're not there. They're, you know, people are realistic. They know they're not going to the Final Four every time, that they can stand being there. And there's, you know, somewhat important meetings and things like that. It's good for your assistants, all that kind of stuff. So I think that will be another indication. There really is no way to tell. As you said, we're just trying to sniff around and you know, try to make something out of nothing. And nothing isn't a good sign. I will agree with that part.
Okay, that's Danny Klinkskill. He joins us every week for a patron podcast on Thursdays called Between the Lines 2.0. Some interesting thoughts he has there on Bill Self and the Jayhawks. We will wait for news and where that is headed going forward. Hope you enjoyed it. I sure did. I know. I'm that host now. I mean, this is my school where I went to college. My boys both went there. So pretty exciting time for Kansas State fans as March Madness rolls along. It's all brought to you by Window World, official sponsor, official window sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Simply the best for less. You can get American-made products, 0% financing, and lifetime warranty at Window World, online at windowskansascity.com. And the Finch Knife Company. I got a text with a picture from Jeremy Fry. He's on vacation with his family, and they pulled down some coconuts, apparently, and they've got their Finch knives on vacation with them, and they're literally cutting up coconuts and making food and drinks and stuff out of the coconuts they have with their Finch knives. They take them everywhere. He can't get enough Finch pocket knives. He's collecting them all. They love them. FinchKnifeCo.com or at Shields in Overland Park or the Bullet Hole. Thanks to all our sponsors. Thanks to you for listening and supporting the sponsors. We appreciate that. And hitting the like, follow, or subscribe button at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.